to another episode in our interview series of Strengthening Things That Remain. We appreciate you watching. It's been phenomenal. We've had great response from the videos that we're posting, and we've had some great preachers in. I know you've enjoyed them, enjoyed hearing their stories, and just getting some insight about and some wisdom about the things of God. Yeah. It's just priceless, some of the things that we've heard. Yes. We have some great preachers. We've got another great preacher with us tonight. This is Brother David Edwards, the pastor of the Turkey Cove Baptist Church down in Marion, down in McDowell County. Preacher, it's great to have you. And we'd like for you just to start off by giving us your testimony.
Amen. Again, thank you for letting us be here tonight. And thank you for the podcast already, Brother Buster. Really helped me. I was just telling Brother Todd, that first podcast done three things in my life. It smote my heart. Number one, number two, it burdened me. And number three, it encouraged me. And I don't know if Brother Buster's going to hear this or not, but I want him to know how much I appreciate. Thank y'all for doing this. And I think it'll be an encouragement to young preachers. Amen. and not just young preachers, but pastors like myself. But anyway, again, thank you for being here. Saved when I was 9 years old, Trinity Baptist Church. Brother Bill Buchanan was pastor down there at the time, and I grew up in a home that we didn't attend church. My mom and dad didn't attend church faithfully, but I had a godly grandmother, and actually grew up in a free will church. There for a little space of time, my mom and dad started going to Trinity Baptist Church, and I got saved. Like I said, when I was 9 years old, and got to be a teenager. I got away from the Lord, got out of church, got away from the things of God, and met my wife when I was 19 years old.
Yeah.
And I met my wife when I was 19 years old, and I asked her out. And she went out with me, and in one time, and the first date, and on the first date, she told me, said, "Well, if we're going to date, you got to go to church with me."
Amen.
And she went to a Wesleyan church, and I said, "Okay." I didn't know nothing about, you know, Wesleyan. I didn't know about much about different denominations, but anyway, went with her one Sunday, and I said, "Okay." It was a little different, to say the least. And so next Sunday, I said, "You go with me." And I said, "We'll go to my grandma's church." And we went there. The next Sunday, I said, "Where do you want to go to church?" She said, "Well, we'll just go to your church." So we ended up getting back in church. That's how I got back in church, was my wife. And I rededicated my life to the Lord. And
Amen.
And we dated for 3 months. And was married, and I kid with them at the church and different places. I said, "I don't recommend that." We didn't know one another, and we kind of grew up together. As a 19-year old when we got married, and she was well, I won't tell how old she was, but
12.
Follow me, wise.
I tease her and tell her she robbed the cradle. No, but no, she was just a year older than me. But anyway. Man, we started our life together, and church was a big part of our life, always was. We left the Free Will Church and started going to a little Southern Baptist church, and ended up teaching Sunday school there, young age. Didn't know a lot, still don't know a lot, but ended up teaching Sunday school and growing in the Lord, and then ended up being a deacon at that little Southern Baptist church. And my boy, we got up, he's about 8 years old, and he went to Bible school, a little independent church. We lived in Old Fort at the time, and we was driving to North Cove. And he went to Bible school, a little independent Baptist church out from our home. And we went out there for commencement, and I thought something's different.
Yeah.
Something's different, and it got to just got to nagging at me. To be honest, we started visiting that church some, and I went back to my church, resigned all my positions there, resigned from the deacon board, resigned Sunday school, and picked my family up and moved them to that in a little independent church, set me under a pastor that loved God and loved people and loved the Word of God and was set under his ministry, and God began to call me to preach, and I battled it for three long, miserable, horrible years, and worked for myself, had my own logging business, thriving business, and I just kept running from the call to preach. And I know I tried being a Gideon, I tried being a youth leader, I tried being a, you know, they called me from Gideon and said, well, you'll be a Gideon. I thought, well, that's it, I won't have to preach now, you know. Then they asked me to be a youth leader, and I thought, well, that's it, I won't have to preach now. And then my pastor asked me to be on the deacon board. I thought, that's it, I won't have to preach now. And I never could get away from it. And ended up, I've worked like, you know, just like I said, worked for myself, and ended up having some heart issues. And to be honest with you, God laid me flat on my back. In 1999, I was 30 year old, and God laid me flat on my back. And I have a disease, a heart disease called cardiomyopathy. It's also called third degree heart block. I was in the hospital, and they sent me over to Asheville, put a pacemaker in. I got back home, and I got pleurisy in my lungs, and I laid for days curled up in fetal position, couldn't get out of bed, couldn't straighten my back, felt like, you know, just terrible sick. And the whole time I was laying there, just never could get it off my mind, just over and over, Brother Todd, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. And I remember 1999, on Saturday night before Easter Sunday, I rolled out of my bed, and I got down on my knees, and I surrendered. I said, Lord, I give up. I can't take it no more.
Amen.
I can't. And and I surrendered that night to the Lord. And I went in, and pretty much hobbled my way into the living room. My wife was sitting in the living room, and she said, what's wrong? And I said, I can't take it no more. And she knew. I didn't tell her. She knew. She started weeping. And we just fell on the floor there and prayed and wept. And I said, I'm going to church in the morning. If I have to go bend over, I'm going to church. And I went to church, and my pastor was waiting on us at the back door. And when I come through, I looked at him, and he smiled real big. And I said, what? And he said, you got something you need to tell me? And I said, yeah. I said, I surrendered.
Amen.
And he said, I never will forget what he said. He said, it's about time, you've been about to kill me. And I preached my first message the next Sunday night. And about a year later, in 2000, started pastoring my first church,
Amen.
Stone Mountain Baptist Church. Was there for 5.5 years, and left on good terms. Church was in good shape. We left good. Still went back there later, you know, and preached some funerals and different things. But anyway, resigned there. Went back to my home church on Wednesday night. Turkey Cove called me on Thursday and asked me if I'd come up and preach. And
Amen.
I went up and preached, and I've been there. This coming June, I think, will be 15 years.
Is that right?
And it's been a joy. It's been some heartaches, but it's been a joy, and I'm thankful for all the Lord's done and all that we've seen Him do, and looking forward to years to come.
Amen. Amen. Well, one of the things that we wanted to do, some of these podcasts, we're going to try and do like a theme. So tonight's podcast, the theme is the home,
right.
The family. And we want to emphasize the importance of the preacher's family and home. And I think Buster Mullins
said. He mentioned how important the family and the home is.
Yeah.
And he said, of course, we know this, that without his family, then you don't have a ministry.
Right.
And sadly, we've seen a lot of homes in the ministry break up, different things, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see a home bust up at any time. But we want maybe you to talk a little bit about that, about the importance of the home, how to guard your home, maybe some things that y'all do. I know that God allows you to preach some marriage conferences and things of that nature. And so that's kind of what's been on our heart all day.
Well, I was thinking on the way over here, you know, mentioned that the home. And I like what Brother Buster said in his podcast. He said, you know, a lot of preachers said that he felt like, they felt like that, you know, it was God, church, then home, or family. But Brother Buster said he felt like it was God, family, and the home. And I totally 100% agree with that, because without our family, our ministry, without, you know, our ministry is destroyed. Yeah. And my wife and I have been married, matter of fact, this November the 7th, we were married 33 years, and I'm thankful she's been a great help me and a great help in my ministry. But far as guarding your home, I think a lot of times I believe we get caught up in the ministry. Matter of fact, I was reminded of that. And before I ever knew we was going to talk about this, I was reminded of that this past weekend. A lot of times we get, the ministry can be very taxing. I helped in an ordination service Sunday night, and I was preaching a charge to the preacher, to the pastor that was taking the new church there. And I was, as I was studying that, you know, not only preach to the pastor, but also to the wife and their son. And I began to study on that, the weight that is on that wife and on that son. And to church folk out there, the lay people, I would like to say, remind you of this, that it's not just your pastor. It's not just Brother Brandon. I know Brother Todd's a missionary, but there's a strain on missionaries' wives and families, maybe even bigger in some senses than a pastor, because a lot of times they have to pick their family up, move to a totally different country. You know, so, but, and as I was thinking about that, and I was reminding the church, but reminding them too, that the responsibility lies together. And it's, if I can encourage a pastor's wife out there and pastor's children, they need you, that pastor needs you at home. They need your support at home. It'll help his ministry. It'll help his preaching. It'll help the church. Right. It'll help the testimony in the community. So many times I've seen, and you know, and I'm sad to say this, but so many times I've seen good men ruined by the testimony of their children. Mm-hmm. And of their, right, and nothing they did, nothing the pastor did, but so many times seen the testimony get hurt of the from the children and from the wife, you know, and so guarding that, I mean, he can only do so much. And I've always said this, preachers are, you know, preaching marriage conferences and different things. I believe you still have to court your wife.
Yeah.
I believe you have to court her. You still have to show her, because it's saying that the strain and the pressure that is on a pastor's wife, I believe, like I said, I was reminded that a lot of times my wife will look at me and she'll say, I'm over here. Yeah. I mean, you know, I need you. I need some eye contact. I need some,
right.
I need you to conversate with me. And you know, I may be sitting there reading or, and she doesn't interrupt me. And I believe, like Brother Buster said, that's one thing that smote my heart. We got to have that time to study. We got to have that time to pray. And she gives me that time. But at the same time, we have got to give them some time. Our right. children, you know, my boy's 31 year old now. But I found I'm in a new stage in my life. I have two grandsons. Yeah. And we were privileged to get to babysit them a lot. And they take up a lot of my time now, and I'm not sorry for that. But if it means I have to stay up, way up in the morning and get my studying in, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm willing to make that sacrifice. But if I don't, Brother Andrew Phipps said this. He said this. He said, you can visit your children in the playpen, or you might end up visiting them in the state pen.
Right.
And I believe that's a very true statement. And so I feel like it's a balance. We got to figure out a balance of ministry, family, children,
right.
Grandchildren. We've got to figure, and it is a very delicate balance.
It is,
but it may mean some late nights for us
right.
in the Word. It may mean early mornings, getting up early. I know I like to get up early. It's quiet. It's still. Nobody's around. Even if we have to get up 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock to get those hours in that
right.
we need to study, it's worth it. But I'd say to guard it, we've got to find that balance. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Many years ago, I was preaching a revival at a church, and there was this older preacher came to listen. And at the end, I was shaking hands with the back of the church, and he came up, and he said, do you preach a lot of meetings? And I said, well, no, not a lot. And he said, well, good. He said, don't make the mistake I made. He said, I ran all over the country trying to save other people's youngins and lost my own. Tears rolling down his face.
Wow.
And, I think our first mission field is right inside the doors of
our
homes.
I believe that, brother.
Sure.
I believe that. Absolutely.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And that's what I was talking about. If we don't invest in them, when I had my grandsons tonight, I left them with my wife tonight. And whenever I went, when it was in there, went in there and get ready, I kind of have to slip off from them to get ready. And I went in there and get ready. And when I come back in there, the littlest one, 3 year old, he said, Papa, church,
right.
And now my oldest is 5 year old. And now he's starting to ask questions already. And, and I'm thankful for the time that we've invested in them. I don't regret none of that. But balancing that, I think, is the struggle in most preachers' homes. With missionary, I think it would be with a pastor or missionary.
Absolutely.
Brother Todd, you preach a lot more meetings than I do. And I think, sometimes when the meetings come back to back and week to week, but the phone calls and Brother Buster said something last night too, when I was listening to it last night, the social media, if we're not careful, the social media, a lot of people ask me why my wife and I have a joint account. And they'll say, well, you henpecked or whatever. You can call me whatever you want to, but the reason we have it like that, and you do it whatever, how you want to do it, but it's accountability.
Sure.
She sees everything on my page. I see everything on her page. It's not that I don't trust her. She don't trust me. It's just accountability reasons.
Right.
And I think nowadays we need that accountability.
Sure. Yeah.
And
I don't think you can be too cautious when it comes to your home, especially, the devil's out to destroy the home. He knows
right.
if he can destroy the man of God's home.
Right.
He's got the ministry. He's got the church.
Right.
It hurts the community.
Right.
It does. Lee Davis used to say that it's never wise for a man to travel alone.
He right.
preach a lot of meetings, stay going right. a whole lot by himself. And that's true. I know myself preaching a lot of meetings and staying going. If I have to go by myself, last week I was by myself and I called my wife and I said, I miss you. You get along. And so I think, putting those guards around your home, around your marriage.
Exactly right.
Taking time for one another, taking time for your children.
Yeah.
I personally never have wanted my children to feel like that if they needed to talk to me that they couldn't, even if I was in my studies.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right.
I mean, they know to respect that, and they do respect that.
Yeah.
But I never wanted my children to feel like that if they needed to talk to their daddy that they couldn't just come in and say,
Yep.
I read a book. I believe it's Coach Joe Gibbs wrote a book on the home, Game Plan for Life or something like that. And he made a statement in it. I'm not recommending the book, but I read it because I like Coach Gibbs. He made a statement in it, I never forgot. He said, kids spell love, T-I-M-E.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, so I believe I was getting ready to recommend a book. And if I could, and I believe both of you would agree with me, to every family and especially to every preacher, every pastor ought to get this book and read it. Brother Stenick Blue is the home America's number one problem is the title of the book. And actually, I have gave a lot of those books out, bought them and gave them out in marriage counseling and everything. Yeah. That book will help your home. It'll help your family.
Absolutely.
It deals with everything that you'll face in your family and in your ministry. Yeah. That book deals with this book that we know deals with.
Right.
But that book will help you. Again, it's Brother Stenick Ballew, and I think it's they can get those still.
I think so. I remember years ago that Brother Ballew used to, you know, he'd do a lot of family conferences home. He would come in at a church and preach on the home. Yeah. You know, and it seemed like when I first started preaching that I seemed like I used to hear a lot of that going on, but I don't hear many family conferences. Right. You know, I know people have marriage retreats, but, you know, a revival just focusing on the home.
Right.
One thing he said, and I don't know, I can't remember if it's in the book, but I remember just listening to him preach on the home, that a lot of parents will so invest in their children. And it's easy to do.
He mentions that in that book.
Mm-hmm. It's so easy to invest everything in your children, and then when they're gone, yeah, it's like you've grown apart.
Yeah,
and they're sitting around looking at each other, what now? You know, they don't know how to spend time with each other.
And he covers that in that book. It sure does. I tell you, I read that book, and God so burdened my heart that I ended up preaching several weeks on Sunday night on a home and family series. It burdened my heart and preached, like I said, several weeks. And people that had been married longer than I've been alive would come up after the service and say, "Preacher, thank you." He said, "We so needed that." So I would encourage preachers, thank you for doing this again, but I would encourage pastors, if God will allow you, and I believe He will, would allow you to spend some Sunday nights or maybe some Wednesday nights on the home and the family.
Yeah.
You know, dealing with children, you know, from the young people, how they should respond to parents, because the Bible tells us that how children should respond to parents, how the husband should respond to the wife respond to the husband. And I believe our homes, men have got so out of order.
Yeah.
It's the reason our world's and our churches is so out of order tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, as the home goes, so goes the church. As the church goes, so goes the country. And
that's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
Let me ask you this. The years that you've been pastoring, what have you seen as, what do you think the number one stressor is on relationships?
T-I-M-E.
Time.
Just what you said about that in the time.
Right.
I think, don't you think? You've been pastoring as long as, I've been pastoring 20 years now.
Yeah, you know, I would say that it's close. Not. Time and finances. Yeah, I'd say those two things are close.
Yeah. And I think the older you get, finances is still an issue. It's always an issue, but it seems like the older you get, to me,
more stable. It's
time. Mm-hmm. And again, that goes back to that balance. I think balancing. I think a pastor and a missionary preacher, evangelist, so many things. He's having to juggle so many things. Mm-hmm. And one other thing I believe, one of the stresses is carrying not only your burdens, your family's burdens, but you're carrying the burdens of pretty much every member in your church.
Right.
And if you're not, I don't know if you can be effective as a pastor if you're not concerned. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, bless God, you know, just you know, whatever," but how can you be effective as a pastor and not be concerned over what burdens them?
Right.
I love my people. I see my people, my church people, my church folk. I see them more than I see my family.
Right.
My cousins, my aunts, my uncles. Right. I see them. I mean, not my son and my wife and stuff like that. But I see them. I see them more than I do.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
The in-laws and the outlaws.
Yeah.
I see them more. And if it matters to them, it matters to me.
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest stresses is, again, it's that balance. Trying to balance home and that.
Right.
That, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking as you was talking, you know, in my other life, fooling with law enforcement, super sky high divorce rate in law enforcement. And it's a lot of the same reasoning, you know, because there's so much, it's a job that demands so much time.
Right.
Middle of the night, whatever, you got to be called out. And it's a job that you carry the stresses of the community into your home a lot of the times. Your spouse feels like they have to deal with all the baggage that you've carried in.
Right.
And it's a very similar situation in pastoring.
Exactly.
Because you've got the baggage of, every week you're dealing with people that bring you their baggage. And, you know, if you're not careful, you carry too much.
Right.
You know, a lot of what's been said about carrying the burdens of your people just goes back to what we were talking about when Brother Mullins was here, how that ministry is a whole lot more than just a pulpit.
Right.
Pastoring a church is a whole lot more.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the pulpit is just a small portion of it.
Right.
But, you know, I was thinking about a home and marriage. In order for it to even, let me say it this way, it has to be started right.
Right.
And how many young people have we known, how many young preachers have we seen that have married wrong?
Right.
You know, maybe picked the wrong one, exactly. Married wrong. And from that,
right.
You know, not being patient, not waiting on the Lord. And
right.
Not, I don't know, you know, a lot of different reasons for that. But, I mean, just how many have we seen that have married wrong?
And, you know, Bro Todd, you think you brought that up last night about when I watched it. I didn't get to watch it till last night. In the podcast with Brother Buster, you brought up about the separation.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, you know, where we've quit preaching that separation for fear of what the brethren's going to say, that's the reason we're losing our young people. You know,
yeah.
We're, you know, and they are marrying wrong.
Right.
Because we've dropped the ball on preaching,
right.
On being, well, for fear of being called a legalist.
Yeah. Right.
And most people who call us legalists don't even know what a legalist really is.
But don't have a clue.
Don't have a clue. But when we stop doing that, I mean, our job, you just got, when we go back to preaching to the, or talking about the home, it's not only to help our homes. Our homes has got to be right to be able to lead other homes right.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to lead by example. And they're going to look at our life a lot more than they are going to listen to our lips.
Yeah. Right.
And it was something, Brother Lee, you mentioned Brother Lee Davis a while ago. Something Brother Lee Davis used to always do was declare his love for his bride from the pulpit. He did that continuously.
Yeah.
And that instilled something in me. I think... And you say, well, preacher, why would you do that? I think it lets the church know, hey, he loves his wife. And it puts in those men. It's one thing for us to be, and I think God help us. We need men. We sure, need to right. be men, but our children need to know that we love our wives.
Sure.
They need to see that affection between
us. I've seen men belittle their wives in the pulpit, and I think it's always, I've always thought that was a serious character flaw.
It is.
If they're doing it in the pulpit, what are they doing at home?
Exactly. Yeah.
What are they doing at home?
Exactly.
And I know you and Miss Margie, because I'll send you a message or something, you say you'd be out this place, that place. You take time, go out on dates, take her out, someplace to eat. Talk to us a little bit about that. That goes back into that making time. And I think people just really fail to realize that, like you said, still courting your wife, that you've got to carve that time out.
You've got to. Whether it's a day through the week, you know, when you're not really pushed, if you're not preaching a meeting, or if it's a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Monday, or, you know, it don't have to be a Friday and a Saturday or whatever, but you've got to have that time. And I know where my wife is, and I think probably most women are that way. If we turn, and here's one of my flaws a lot of times, if I'm getting messages, text messages, some from the church or something, and I'll say, you know, this is so-and-so from the church. I need to answer. She don't say anything. But really and truly, we ought to probably turn our phones off and that special time, if it's a couple of hours. And a lot of times, I tell you some, just driving around or hunting club. We go to the hunting club, get on side by side, go to the hunting club, get on side by side. And we don't have no phone service out there. And it's just me and her, and we'll go around and maybe check game cameras and put some corn out or look at tree stands, blah, 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 whatever. She don't care. That tickles her to death because we don't have no phone service. We're on the side by side. It's just me and her. That's special to her.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know that. And if that's, you know, something we can do together just to get away, I know that helps her and helps keep that balance in the home.
That's great.
You know, it goes back just to whatever you enjoy doing together.
Right.
Yeah, it's whatever it is.
Yeah.
People are different, you know.
Right.
You know, and one verse I think God really put in my heart years ago about my home is where the Lord said to dwell with them according to knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and understand that our wives are made men. Women are different than men.
Yep.
Right.
And we have to understand that.
Yeah.
And I know what she likes. I know what she dislikes. I know what makes her angry. I know what makes her happy, and things like. And if we'll dwell with them according to that knowledge, I feel like, if I know what she does not like to do, then why even try to make her do it?
We were in a marriage conference. Brother Kerry Nelson was preaching one night in that marriage conference. Brother Kerry's pastor out in Mississippi. And he said something, just what you said. And Brother Blue talks about that too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we'll do things knowing they don't like it just to irritate. Done something to irritate us. Well, I'm going to retaliate. I'm going to get back there by doing this. And he said he found out. He said that his wife, when the dish towel laying over the sink, and she didn't like it thrown down in the sink. She didn't like it thrown beside the sink. Whenever you got through the dish towel, fold it up, lay it across the sink, and let it drain out. And he said that just drove for whatever reason that was her pet peeve. That was something that drove. He said he found out that his life was a whole lot easier if he just folded up a dish towel instead of, and little things like that, if we could just go out of our way a little bit.
Yeah.
Pick up your socks.
Yeah.
Right.
What preachers need to realize is no family, no ministry.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
That's why, that we want to focus, because family is so important.
Exactly.
In reality, if you're doing something just for the purpose to irritate them, that's not Christianity.
No.
I've often said that, I'm more interested in being a good Christian. Because I'll be a good Christian, I'll be a good husband.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
I'll be a good daddy.
Exactly.
So in the end, we got two fronts that we've got to protect, and that is the children and the wife. And the most important human relationship on the planet is between you and your wife.
Right.
I mean, that's got to be the mindset.
Right.
Because if things ain't right with mom and daddy, things won't be right with the kids.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I feel like we've covered some good ground here. We're about 35 minutes, and I think we've covered some good ground. Brother David, I appreciate you being here.
Thank you for letting us be here.
We're going to have you back, and we'll have some more of these round table conversations.
Looking forward to it.
Kick around ideas, and it's why we're doing this, just try to be a help to people, and we hope that it is a help. We appreciate you watching. Please share the video, let other people know about Strengthen the Things That Remain podcast. Share the podcast off of our church podcast page on Sermon Audio. And that'll be a blessing. We'll see you next Monday. God bless y'all.
God bless you.
God bless you.